You're listening to For the Show We Go Baseball Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into episode 69 to the show we go. We got Ed Hand and myself, Andrew Parker.
Nice.
Nice. We had to get to it eventually, Ed. But today's episode, I am not going. We just practiced off air. I'm going to say it in the American version. And then Stein, you can say this in the correct version. Right. But today's episode, we have a Red Sox minor league pitcher. We got Stein Vanderschaff, and American wise. But Stein, I'm going to pass it to you because I found it fascinating how you were trying to teach us the name. So can you, just for the people out there, like let's hear your name in the correct version.
All right. So first of all, thank you guys for having me. The Dutch way to pronounce it is Stein van der Schaaf. So of course, with the ch, which is a very common sound used in the Dutch language. Of course, the American language doesn't have it. So you know, there's a struggle.
Well, I appreciate you doing that because I don't want to sit here and try to like do it and make a mockery of that because I understand that we're just not used to doing that here in the States. So, but thank you for hopping on. We do have a lot of questions regarding just you, your story coming over to the States, I guess playing baseball over Seas as well, as obviously we did an episode with your roommate about his story coming from Australia, which was fascinating. So I know yours is going to be just as good, but I want to start us off. You were in spring training, obviously, you know, you're down in the minor league side of things, but how has it been going since you, I think you told me off air you had gotten to Florida about a couple weeks ago. So I guess how have things been transitioning stateside?
So things have been good. Right now, I am on the rehab list. Unfortunately, it's a small impingement in the shoulder, so it's not too bad. It's getting better each day, but it's been good being back. Good seeing my friends again. Of course, training here is way different from back home. Like the facilities are here are so much better. The staff is so much better. Also, you know, you have your teammates. We can compete with and get better with. So it's been awesome being back here.
So going back a little further though, what's baseball like in the Netherlands? How did you get into it? Because I know that Netherlands have a nice international team, but they've also got Curaçao, they've got Aruba. There's a bit of a pipeline there from the Caribbean. So I'm just wondering how you got into it and what the scene is like. Particularly growing up, like in high school, what's Little League like?
Yeah. So it's actually very different back home. So here in America, baseball and other sports are like associated with like high school and college. And back home, that's not the case. So usually all the different types of sports are disconnected from schools. So everything is like amateur and we have to like train in clubs and not necessarily like college teams or college ball. So I started when I was around 6 and 7 years old. One of my buddies from back in the days used to play baseball, and he asked me if I wanted to tag along one training. And just from the first moment, I just fell in love with the game and just knew that I was destined to be a ball player.
What did your parents think of that? Like, did they know anything about baseball?
No, I'm pretty sure I'm the first one in the family to actually start playing baseball, but both my parents loved it. They loved seeing me play. So yeah, I got their support all the way.
Gotcha. Well, were you, I gotta ask, because I think growing up too, like for me, like obviously like football for you, but soccer here. Mm-hmm. I played soccer growing up. That's a fun fact about me, Ed. But
I didn't know that.
I always loved watching the Netherlands play in the World Cup because they were like, I think I might date myself as a boomer compared to your age, because I think you might be like 10 years younger than me. But my guy was Robin Van Persie. I don't know if that's like dating myself.
No, great soccer player. Loved watching and growing up. So yeah, no, he was he was amazing. Cool.
All right. I was making sure I didn't date myself there, but so Ed Asyid, I know that like baseball is not like a, you know, the obviously football, I would assume in Netherlands is the number one sport. So I guess when did you kind of decide when you were younger of being like, okay, like did you play football growing up?
No. So I always played with like my friends and at school during breaks with my classmates, but I never like really played football or like soccer like in a club or like do trainings for it. So I never really got the connection with it or like the feeling to be a football player. So never really like started.
Okay. Thank you, by the way, for not making me feel like an absolute old person after that Van Persie reach right there. I mean, I was going to say, I think he's like 40 years old. So I didn't know if that was something that I always get scared with the generational shift there. All right. So I want to shoot to you playing actually for the Netherlands team. So This is a question that I always love asking because I don't know. Well, I want to hear from yourself, though. But like, was there a better, I guess, accolade that you've done in your baseball career than wearing like your country across your chest?
I don't think so. Like playing for the national team, that's been like one of my highlights in my baseball career, I think.
And so what was it about playing for the team? Like, I guess what whenever you found out that you were going to be representing your home country, like how you did, what kind of things were you kind of feeling?
I don't know. I just felt like proud of myself that I could be able to represent my country on like the European Championship and the World Championship. I felt proud of myself that I've gotten this far. And yeah, just being there with my teammates, battling it out for like the world title and the European title, just feels awesome, man, to do that. And it's been a great experience as well. I had some great teammates. I had some great tournaments, great games. So yeah, they are always going to be memories that I'm going to cherish throughout my whole baseball career.
I'm also seeing that it looks like you pitched in 2022 in the Dutch Major League ball.
Yes.
What is that like? Like, what are the crowds like in for that league? Like, how many are generally coming out to games?
It really depends on which teams we face. So usually, back in the Netherlands, we have like the big four teams. So usually that would be like Twins, HCOA, so that it's the club that I played for, Pirates, and Neptunus. So usually those would bring the bigger crowds. I think my club has the best supporters. Like, they always come to home games. They always support us. And yeah, it's just, I have to say the crowds are, they're not huge, but they're definitely there.
Yeah, are there any like traditions or out there that are different than they would be in the States? Like any I guess how people root for their teams.
I don't know. I don't think there's like different kind of traditions for like how to root for your team.
Okay, I always find that interesting because of like the like I know I brought it up with Adam as well, but. It's like the watching the WBC and it's like seeing just like all those traditions that were like kind of overseas, specifically with like Japan and even like the Latin America teams. I feel like they all kind of I saw the vuvuzelas going off and everything. I didn't know if Netherlands also had something that is unique to their own, I guess, their own game over there.
From the top of my head, I can't really like think of anything. But then again, like baseball's not a huge sport back home, so usually the supporters that we get are either local supporters or like supporters that are either associated with the club or maybe players from the club from younger teams. So I don't know, like one thing we do always wear with the national team is the color orange for the supporters, or the red, white, and blue flag colors. That's the only like tradition I can really think of.
Okay.
There have been some pretty good players out of the Netherlands, particularly when I think when people think about pitchers, it's really Bert Blyleven. Did you have any role models like that as you were working your way up prior to being drafted? Anybody that you worked with, maybe?
So one player I always like looked up to was Kenley Jansen. Of course, like in my younger days, I was always a closer. Of course, Kenley's a closer as well. Kenley played some games for the Dutch national team, so I'd always watch him play there. So yeah, I always looked up to him. Thought he was a great player, still is. And of course, he was a closer. I was a closer, so I was wanted to be like a little bit like him, of course, but in my own way.
Yeah. Have you gotten to meet him?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I haven't gotten the chance to meet him yet. My parents are always like, "Oh, you need to get a picture with him," and I always try to be like, I don't want to like completely fanboy like with a teammate, but I, on the other hand, I kind of do because you know I've always watched Kenley growing up. But yeah, no, my parents have been like pushing me to be like, "Oh, get a picture with him, say hi to him," and I'm like, "No, like you know." I always try to like push their pressure away.
Have you like seen him around at all? Like, I know you haven't said hello yet, but have you like seen him from afar and been like, "Oh man, like,
oh okay. God, that dude is huge." I think last year I was one of my first days there, and I was in the gym, and I just turned around and I saw him. Just looked up and like, and I was like, "Whoa, that dude is huge!" Like. Kind of intimidating big, so he kind of scared me first time I saw him, but I've seen him this year a couple times as well, so but then again I haven't been able to say hi yet, but maybe this year I will.
Okay.
What was the scouting process like for you, and what made you side with the Red Sox?
So for me, I got the best feeling from the Red Sox. So I've talked, I have talked with some other teams as well. But when I talked with the Red Sox, they had a plan for me. They have been following me for a couple of years now, so they could tell me what they saw each year, also my progression of all the years, and that kind of gave me like a good feeling that they have been looking into me for a while, that they had a clear vision of what they wanted me to do when I got here. I feel like I missed that with other teams, that they just saw me and be like, "Hey, that's a good player and we want him," instead of having like a clear vision of how they want me to get better and how they see me in like in the future years progressing and what they want from me.
I did see, I read somewhere that they had first started talking with you in 2019. I think they may have made their first contact. So what was it like, I guess, with the communication? I saw, with your signing scout as well. But like, what was that like, I guess, over the years? Was it more of just them watching you pitch, checking in on you? Did you ever hear from anybody on like, you know, from stateside, or was it more of just like from the signing scout?
So actually, if I think about it, I've never like talked to scouts until 2022. So I think I was on their radar, but they hadn't approached me yet. So I think they maybe like observed me or watched me from a distance, and then when maybe the time was right, they started to approach me.
Okay. Also I want to talk a little bit about your pitch mix and your arsenal. I saw Baseball America had did a little feature on you, actually, that you were
really
a potential sleeper in Boston's international draft class in 2023.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, shout out to Ben Badler over at Baseball America. But he said that you had a fastball that started to touch the low 90s. Now, fastball, I guess, walk me through, I guess, how you went about identifying what your pitch mix was going to be, like how your arsenal came to be what it is today.
Yeah, so I'm a over the top guy, so fastball has a good carry. I developed a changeup last year that was very successful for me that year. I have a curveball right now. I've been basically throwing that pitch for maybe like 5-6 years, so that's one of the pitches I'm like most comfortable with. Right now during spring training, they have me working on a bullet slider as well, so that actually increases the arsenal. So I'm pretty excited about that, to see how that pays off during the games. But yeah, I always started off with a fastball. Always had a changeup from a pretty young age. I started throwing changeup. Had some good pitching coaches in my younger days, so learned the changeup very quickly. Stayed away from like curveballs and breaking balls at the younger ages. So I think when I was about 14, 15, I actually started to throw my curveball. I've been basically throwing the same pitch mix for a good amount of years now.
I did want to ask before you shoot in, Ed. You want to go? We gonna go, Ed?
No. Yeah, you first, and then I'll do a couple.
Okay. Mine was a little like I don't know. I was gonna follow up to that, but then it had like it might steer off a little bit. But with your pitch mix, and you had talked about adding the bullet slider, and you've seen though, like you were in the FCL this past season, 2023 season. Mm-hmm. So you've kind of seen like two different regimes, I would call, like running. I guess like with the pitching, and obviously Justin Willard being there, Andrew Bailey, Craig Breslow, like all the new guys that weren't here last year. So have you seen a difference in like how they're approaching your development, or on like what kind of things you're doing on a daily basis compared to what you did this past year?
Well, that's a tough question, actually. There is a big difference. So last year, my curveball was good, graded out good, and there was actually nothing like no work that had to be done. And then this year they told me like, hey, we want something that either is faster, or either something that moves more. So they chose for something that is faster, so the bullet slider. So that was kind of new for me too. Like coming in here, I thought that I didn't need any work on my breaking pitches. And then when I got here, they were like, hey, we want you to throw a bullet slider. So that was kind of new for me. And also, but when they explained it to me, I completely understood it, and I was very open with the idea. I think things that are also different is last year we worked with 40-foot numbers, and this year we're working with 60-foot numbers. It's not like a huge difference, but it is different. And I feel like
what does that mean by 40-foot numbers versus 60-foot numbers?
So, for example, in bullpens, we would work with 40-foot numbers with like horizontal break and vertical break. So, of course, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure the pitching, from the pitching mound to the home plate, is 60 feet.
60 feet, 6 inches.
Yeah. So right now I'm actually seeing how much my changeup, my fastball, or my curveball moves, like the actual movement from pitching mound to the plate. While last year I was only seeing the movement it had from the pitching mound till 40 feet. So the last 20 feet, I never like that movement I never got. So I never really knew how much my stuff really moved.
So it's kind of like taking the training wheels off.
I think so. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, Ed, I'm sorry. I kind of diverted off, but.
Oh, I don't care. I like your questions, Parker. And you're just so polite. Those Midwestern manners. I love it. But yeah, I was wondering, at what point did you know that you had a chance to play baseball professionally?
Ooh, I think it started in 2022. So I think growing up, I always felt like the pitcher that was a very good pitcher, but wasn't very noticed as a very good pitcher. Like, of course, in the team, I was always like someone to rely on, but usually like I didn't have like a very big ego. So I didn't like very like, how do you say that? Like stand out, I want to say.
And you weren't like, you weren't like peacocking or anything. You weren't trying to show how great you were.
No, I just did what I had to do. When I had the pitch, I came in the pitch, did the job, and then that's it. I feel like I had a good year in 2021, but never really like focused on scouts. So never really heard of anything of scouts. And then in 2022, one of my buddies got signed. So then like the thought started to play in my head, like, okay, like it's pretty cool, you know, talking to scouts. I kind of want to do that as well. But for me in 22, I was 18. I was going to turn 19 next year. So for me, it was like, you know, I'm at that age that I don't think I'll have a big chance to sign. Cause usually when people sign from the Netherlands, they're either like 16 or 17, and usually like 18, 19 year olds would go to college. So I was more thinking about going to college and actually signing a professional contract. And then I think I pitched a very good game against Spain in the European Championship. And then after that game, I got some scouts calling me, texting me. And at that point, I was like, hey, maybe there is a chance. And then after the first one, there came another and then another. And at that point, I was like, hey, this might actually happen. Like, I might actually go pro. And then the realization hit, like, oh, like, wow, this is happening. And at that point, it was like, all right, I'm not going to college. I'm going to play pro ball.
Now, if you had gone to college, what do you think you would have wanted to study?
To be honest, I have no clue. I have absolutely no clue. So, So I graduated high school back home in 2022. And then I had the idea to take a gap year to look for college. So I think I graduated around April or May. And then in around June, July, I already get the first scouts. So I never really like looked into colleges or what things I wanted to study. Right. So I have no clue what I wanted to study.
Yeah. You wanted to be a ball player and you're a ball player now.
Exactly. Like that answer. Good.
Yeah, so getting to stateside though, just looking at some of your numbers this year, it looked like you walked a bunch of guys, but you were also able to get a lot of outs despite that. So I'm wondering what the process has been with improving your control, like what you've been trying to do to drop that walk rate.
So last season was kind of a struggle for me. So at the beginning of the season, that's where I walked the most guys. And it had something to do with like the workload. Workload was way too high for me, of course, coming from 2 to 3 times training a week to 6 times. It's going to take a toll on your shoulder and on your body. So at one point, my release height dropped 4 inches. So at one point, I just couldn't throw strikes anymore at the beginning of the season and started to hit me mentally and physically. And at that point, that was the start where like I started walking guys a lot, couldn't get many outs. And at that point, it was like, hey, there's something definitely going wrong, because during extended spring, everything was like good. Results were good. I wasn't walking a lot. So I talked with some trainers. I talked with some players. And then we figured out like, hey, your release height has dropped a lot and we have to like work on that. So I worked on that through some live ABs just to get like back into it, seeing hitters like without having to worry about like my results. And I started to pick it up again. So I started throwing strikes again, started throwing good. And then at the end of the season, I I did what I had to do and what I came here to do. So I think I started the season with like a 10.5 ERA. And I think in my last five games, I put up a 1.2 average ERA and then worked the total amount of ERA, worked it down to like 4.5 or something. So of course, it's unfortunate that I walked so many guys in the beginning of the season and that I didn't throw that many innings, because it is going to like influence my stats a lot. But then again, I'm trying to not look too much at the beginning of the season and more at the end of the season, where I actually was able to perform how I know I can perform, instead of the beginning of the season where everything just went downhill.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ideal too, is that you don't want to start really strong and then you can't find your control by the end of it. And I remember following your season just through what I do with Sox prospects and being like, man, this kid can't hit the strike zone. What's going on here? And like you said, you had an ERA that was above 10, and to, you know, drop that below 5 is, I mean, that's a damn good second half. So it's that's interesting to hear how you approach that. Now I know that you've got you're dealing with the shoulder impingement right now, but what are you looking to do in the 2024 season? What are your goals for this year?
Well, of course, one of my goals is definitely to make more innings than last year. Of course, with last year starting the season off very bad, wasn't able to throw many innings in the beginning of the season. Did throw a good amount of innings at the end. Still, like in total, I would have liked to throw more innings. So for this year, definitely throw more innings, attack the strike zone, attack some hitters. And the ultimate goal is making that step over to Salem.
And I do want to note before, I guess before we jump off to a different topic here, but I know Ed obviously touched on like, you know, the control and everything, but with all that, like aside, like I did just see something. You held opposing hitters to a 167 batting average against, and you were also doing it against, you almost faced the route down the middle for lefties and righties. So you were able to get both sides of the plate out. Is that something, obviously, you know, the walks and everything, like that's a whole other thing, but the way you limited contact, and is that something that I guess you kind of pride yourself on with your, I guess, as a pitcher, like the type of pitcher you are?
I do. I feel like looking at back at last season, I think for me, the only like big problem was the walk rate and like walking guys. Like I mentioned that I talked to like coaches, development coaches, team players. And one thing they also noticed, like, hey, you don't give up a lot of hits, and hey, you don't give up a lot of hard contact. So basically the only thing I have to do is attack the strike zone and my stuff will do the work. Like I haven't got many hits yet last season, didn't give up a lot of hard contact. So the only thing from last year, what I have to work on this year is just getting that walk rate down and maybe getting the strikeout rate a little bit up. But besides that, like I'm not giving up a lot of hits, a lot of contact. So that is a thing I'm happy about from last year.
All right, Ed Hand, what do you got? I have a speed run, but I want you to, if you got anything before we hit the speed run.
Now, this is kind of a random question, but and if you don't have the answer for it, that's totally cool, because I get that you've probably had a lot of teammates over the years. But I did notice that you in that 2022 season, you were a teammate of Xander Bogaerts' twin brother. I was just wondering if you could tell me a little bit about him, because I think a lot of people forget that when the Sox signed Xander, they were looking at his brother. That was the guy that they were initially targeting. And he was only in the system here for about 2 years, disappeared for 10 years, and then resurfaced for another two seasons playing in that league. So I was just wondering what you remember about him as a teammate.
So it was actually funny, because he was – I'm pretty sure he was like half teammate, half assistant coach. But yeah, he's a great guy. Like he's a funny guy, great teammate, great coach. Talked a lot with him, and overall just a very great guy.
So he was a player coach there too? Like, was he like a hitting instructor, defensive instructor? Like what was his role, I guess?
Ooh, I'm I'm not sure. I want to say that he was assistant coach, but I honestly can remember.
Gotcha.
That is an interesting nugget there, Ed. That's I don't know if I even really remember that was the story. So that was that they were looking at his brother instead of him.
Yeah, initially. I mean, I don't know how much it was. I just know that Jarrah was considered like the more interesting prospect at the time. And then obviously, I mean, Xander's got he might be in Cooperstown by the time everything is said and done. So like obviously that ended up being the better of the two. But yeah, I was just curious because we don't hear anything about Jarrah. We don't hear anything about him.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Nothing. And obviously the city of Boston loves Xander Bogaerts, so. And I think they still do. I don't know if you're a Twitter guy or X guy or whatever it is now, but just sometimes don't read the Twitter mobs.
It's not just the city of Boston. If you go, I was in Aruba for my honeymoon, and if you go there, I mean, there was like Xander stuff in like the hotel. It's all over the place. Because I mean, there haven't been that many Aruban ball players. I think it's just Xander and Sidney Ponson. So,
ooh,
I don't know that. I've been to Aruba, I think, in 2021. It was actually funny because we played on a field called the Xander Bogaerts Field. So that was actually pretty fun.
That sounds about right. What did you think of it there just for because I was there for my honeymoon. So it was like we were on vacation the entire time and I loved it. But just like playing ball there, what was that like?
Different, very hot, I have to say. The weather there, it was quite the challenge to play in that kind of weather, but it was good. I played with the travel team, unfortunately didn't win it, but for me it was mainly like a fun tournament. Like at that time I think I also was I just came back from injury, so I didn't play much, so for me it was basically like the experience and just to have fun. But the fields are different. Like for example, back home, if you drive for about 15 minutes, you can see some soccer fields everywhere. And over there, it's just all about baseball. Like you can see small baseball fields everywhere. You can see billboards with baseball, and it's just all about baseball there, and it's awesome.
That was a good pull by you, Ed, on the Ponson one. That's an Orioles legend right there. I was going to pull Didi Gregorius, but then I just found out he actually is from the Netherlands. He's not a Reuben. So that's probably one of your guys.
Then like Kenley and Andrew Jones or Curacao.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Stein, I got a speed run for you. Random questions, non-baseball related. We want to get to know you, the person.
All right. Bring it.
All right. Are you a movie, show, or live TV kind of guy?
I'm a movie guy.
Okay. What's your favorite movies? Yeah. Favorite of all time.
I got to say, I love Star Wars.
Wow.
Growing up.
Not a lot.
I'm hearing Adam laugh in the background. Yep,
he's not the same thing.
Yeah. Big Star Wars guy. Love watching Lord of the Rings. Probably my favorite movie, though, I have to say, is The Green Mile. Beautiful movie.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Very different than those other two. Now, do you have a favorite Star Wars movie?
That's important.
It's a hot take here, but I really enjoy watching The Phantom Menace.
Hey, I really do. That's my bag right there. I love the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. I feel like we've gotten Star Wars the past like four. Like David Sandlin was the same thing. He watches Return of the Jedi before he pitches every night before.
What was Revenge of the Sith?
Or Revenge of the Sith, sorry. Oh gosh, I'm gonna get canceled for that one.
No, that's actually probably a good thing that you don't remember that like word for word. I wasn't even on that episode.
All right, cool. I'm not a big Star Wars guy. Like, I mean, I have seen all of them. I do like it. I'll never talk trash on any of them. So I'm not going to die on that hill. But I need to get up to speed. All right, cool. I need a song that's stuck in your head on repeat.
Oh, that's a difficult one. I'm gonna be honest with you. I really can't answer that question. Like, I'm listening to so many like different genres. Like, I can't. Like, there's no possible way for me to answer that one. I'm sorry.
All right. So,
do you watch Eurovision?
I do. Yeah.
What is that?
It's a European tournament where I think a bunch of different countries compete against each other for like best performing song.
Oh,
so okay. Yeah, it's pretty cool to watch. You should definitely watch it sometime.
I believe that's where ABBA came from, and I mean there are a few other, like, I think Celine Dion got her start on that. There's a Will Ferrell movie that came out a couple of years ago, kind of. Satire of it that was pretty fun.
Okay, so I'm gonna can I rephrase the question then? If you had a walkout song in 2024, what would it be?
Okay, so there's one walkout song, and it's kind of like ironic, and it's from I'm pretty sure it's Led Zeppelin. That's called the Immigrant Song. It's also used in Thor Ragnarok.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and it was kind of ironic because it was like Immigrant Song. Of course, me not being from the States, it was kind of ironic to not use it.
But I mean, Zeppelin's just good closer vibes.
Exactly. Yeah. So. I mean, walking up to that just feels like, I don't know, it just hypes yourself up. Like, it's a great song.
Okay. Well, I know that the FCL, I don't think they probably do walkout songs, but once you start getting up the ranks a little bit, I'm going to be looking out for that one.
Right.
Because that's a good one. I do like that. You're a super young guy. I think you turned 20 in April. Yeah. Did I see that right?
20 in April, yeah.
All right, so by the age of 25, you want to have accomplished what?
25. It's a pretty good age to be in the big leagues, to be honest. Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
I like that.
All right, favorite athlete outside of baseball?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't watch like that many sports outside baseball or like in general, but if I'm gonna think about like a sport that I've always like watched, it's probably Arjen Robben.
Okay. Here's one that I am the most interested in, I think, out of all of them, but what is a food that you grew up on that's a staple in the Netherlands that you're gonna miss over here?
So I think it's like the Dutch cuisine isn't like huge. So back home we have things like stamppot and boerenkool, and both I'm not a huge fan of. So to be honest, the Dutch cuisine is kind of, personally, it's kind of boring. Like breakfast is usually a slice of bread with what we call hagelslag. So it's basically chocolate sprinkles. So a lot of young kids would, in the morning, just get a slice of bread, put some butter on it, put some hagelslag on it, and that's it. Get ready for school. So not that many like Dutch, huge Dutch cuisine. But one thing I do always love is a bitterbal. So it's basically like it's a fried snack. It's like a small ball, like a crunchy outside and inside. I think it's either like ragu. I don't know if that's right.
Okay. But I think I'm following.
Yeah. So it's delicious. Like there's a lot of like fried food in the Netherlands. Not the same as here. So we also have it's called a frikandel. It's actually like it's a fried meat stick, and okay. It's really good. What else? We have poffertjes. So it's actually funny because it's basically like very, very tiny pancakes, like that size, and they're just basically like fluffy. You eat them with melted butter and powdered sugar, and it's incredible, especially during the winter. Also, one of like what is a very traditional food to eat during New Year's is oliebollen. and it's basically like a fried ball of dough. And it sounds kind of boring, but I can tell you it's perfection. It's
fried dough is never boring.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
If there's one thing you need to learn about America and Americans, they love anything fried. And
we do not care what we're putting in our bodies.
Yeah,
not even
zero. You want to take an Oreo? We're gonna fry it. If you want to take a cheesecake, they'll fry it.
Cheesecake! I think that was my last year. I went to a restaurant called Ginza, and they told me like, yeah, they fried cheesecake here, and I looked at them like. Fried cheesecake, are you serious? Like, yeah, you should try it. And I took a bite. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that ever again. Like, it's just, to be honest, it was just an abomination. I'm sorry to say it, but
I'm with you, man.
Take a bite and then you have diabetes.
Yeah, exactly. I ate it and it just felt like the first bite just felt unhealthy and like, no, I'm not doing this.
I can feel my arteries clogging in my chest right now, like.
that's
the thing about America, man. We'll fry anything, put it on a menu, people eat it. So all right, you have any weird baseball superstitions?
Weird baseball superstitions? Yeah, I whenever I come out to pitch in my when I'm in the dugout and I come out to pitch, I always step over the line with my left foot. I don't know why. I've just been doing it always. I can't just do it with my right. I always have to do it with my left.
There is a pitcher on the major league roster for the Red Sox. He went to the University of Missouri where I went, Tanner Houck. And if you ever were watching the games, if you see him, he will hop over sometimes. Like, it looks like he's like about to fall. He also has to put left foot over before his right. I learned that when he was in high school, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's been doing that since he was like I went to high school like right next to him, so he's been doing that since he was like a young kid. But he always has to, like, he'll start walking and sometimes he'll forget about it. I think he said this in an interview last year, I don't remember when, but yeah, he's always like jumping over the line because he forgets about it sometimes.
That's awesome.
All right, do you have like a go-to pregame snack?
No, but I do have a go-to meal. So this was basically just in the FCL. It's probably going to change when I'm hopefully in Salem this year. So I would always order from this Chinese place and just get rice, broccoli, and general Tsao chicken.
Oh, okay.
And I ate it before every single game.
Oh, all right. I did have one food-related last question here of the speed run before we kind of add in, if we can cap it off, but
we do a lot of food questions here.
Yeah, we do.
Love food.
You know, exactly. You know what? I learned this, like, David Sandler said it best. He's like, dude, I'm a foodie. It's weird you're asking me all these. Like, I just love food. I was like, everybody does. Like, everybody eats. Everybody loves it.
Exactly.
Do they have, so I have a two-parter here. Do they have a lot of like fast food chains in Netherlands?
I mean, we have our fair amount, but compared to here, it's not that big.
Okay.
So all right. we of course have our McDonald's, we have our KFC, we have our Burger King. I think we have some Taco Bells, no Chick-fil-A, no Wendy's, no Five Guys, no In-N-Out. What else do you have? We do have Domino's, maybe like one or two Pizza Huts. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's about it.
Okay. Have you come to a liking of any fast food chains down in the Fort Myers area, specifically ones that are maybe a mile away from the stadium, the complex that serves fast food fried chicken?
I think my go-to would be Chick-fil-A. It's great. It's great.
Okay.
Oh, it is. It really is. I agree.
Yeah.
Hey, Stein, I need you to do something for me.
Tell me.
Take your phone out, piece of paper, whatever you got. I want you to write down this amazing fast food place. It's called Zaxby's.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think of? You were right. So, no, I'm not trying that.
Yeah, I already grabbed my phone. So here's the fun thing. I've never actually gotten Zaxby's because I'm pretty sure there is one here, but it's kind of far away. Like, of course, I don't have a car and drive, so and ordering it, it's like 30 to 40 minutes. But I heard like very good things about Zaxby's, so I was like, if I'm gonna have it, I want to have it like fresh and ready. Like, I don't want to have it like 30, 40 minutes in a box.
Yeah, it'll get soggy, man.
Yeah, I heard the same about, I think it was Raisin Cane's or something.
Yep, fantastic place.
Yeah, I heard that was like that's an absolute banger. That's what I've heard from some teammates. So I still have to try that one as well.
All right, well, that's all the food questions. I will say, I know you don't have a car, so it might be hard, but there's a place called PDQ that John Shriver just got traded to the Royals not that long ago, but he was the one that put us on to PDQ, as well as a few other guys have been getting that. So
I know there's a PDQ in the pretty close nearby the hotel, I think
there's a couple in Fort Myers, and he was like, their sauce is like incredible. So if you do ever get a chance to get that. But all right, Ed,
I'll check it out.
What do we got, Ed? Emptying the bench.
All right. Final question for me. What's your favorite thing to do outside of baseball?
Oof. Of course, the boring answer is going to be like talk to my friends, hang out with my friends. So that's kind of the boring question. I've kind of grown to like golf, actually. I've never really golfed before I came here. I think last year I went to Topgolf once, and it was great. So I think last year as well, went to a 18-hole course with a bunch of teammates, buddies. And I really enjoyed it. Didn't play very well, like very not well. But I had some decent shots. But I don't know, even though I like sucked at it, it was really fun to do.
Did you golf?
Or you were a golfer?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Never. I never picked up a golf club before I came here last year, so it was really new for me.
Are you in? You and Adam ever go out?
We played a mini golf game. It was actually kind of funny because he's pointing at me right now. I actually joked about it because we went mini golfing. I'm not gonna tell who won or not. But yeah, I said I wasn't gonna mention it.
Okay, fair. We won't clip that or anything. You're good. Yeah. You're good.
Yeah, but we were planning on going to Topgolf once and maybe going to a real golf course. That would be would sound like a fun time.
Okay. I might I'm going to send a message to our good friend Nathan Landry. He's he's also not American. He's Canadian.
I know.
You're familiar with Landry?
I know Landry, yeah.
All right. I might he calls himself the world's worst golfer. He said he's the worst golfer of all the pair, and all the guys that he goes golfing with are like shooting way better than him because he's a Canadian. It's like it's cold up there all the time. He just can't get the clubs out. So might be like, hey, you take our guy Stein down. Like, you guys are both like, you guys both aren't from America. Like, come on, let's like have a good time. But
yeah, I might challenge him for that title, to be honest.
Well, all right. Well, Ed, I don't have anything left. You've given us, Stein gave us like 50 minutes of your time here. We appreciate all of it. Hope the recovery from the injury goes well for you. And we will definitely be on the lookout for you starting off FCL. And then, like you said, hopefully Salem this year as well. But thank you for hopping on and joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. It was been a great time for me.